Good day, listeners. This is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you're listening to Township's Daily News Bits. I am here with Jade Savage, who is a professor at Bishop's University in the Biological Sciences and the creator of platform eTick, who is going to be speaking to us about the current tick situation here in the Eastern Townships and to give people some tips as to how they can go about protecting themselves. So thank you so much, Jade, for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and the eTick platform that you created?
Sure. So as you said, I'm an entomology professor at Bishop's University, and one of the few things that I teach is a class in medical entomology. And so over the last two decades, I've had a lot of people asking me about ticks, and these requests would be sort of increasingly important every year since I began working at Bishop's in 2004. And so obviously, more people were in contact with ticks, and the number of Lyme disease cases were rising in the area. And that sort of made me think that there might be a way to provide information about ticks in the different species and their medical relevance to people rapidly, using some of the new technology that had been developed somewhere around 2014, and maybe sort of emulate some of the other citizen science programs like eBird or eButterfly, and try to come up with a way for people to see information about ticks rapidly, but also getting information about a tick that they had found rapidly. Because even, well, still today, but at the time in Quebec, if you found a tick, the only way to get information about that tick was to have it sent by your physician or your veterinarian to the Laboratoire de Santé Publique in Quebec and to have it identify, and this could take actually weeks. So with the eTick platform, what we wanted to offer was the ability to receive an identification within one business day, as well as information as to what to do if you were in contact with a black-legged tick or some of the other ticks, of course. So that was the whole idea behind the platform. These things take a while to build, and we started with a pilot, but we are now in all Canadian provinces, and the project has been going very well. And so we collect basically in exchange for a data point on the map, citizens of all the provinces can now get a quick identification. And they also receive information that is relevant to the tick bite for their own province. Because health being administered at the provincial level, there are different directives provided to citizens depending on what species they came across with. So that was another important thing for us to take into account, the differences between provinces.
Okay. And since you're so involved and invested in this platform, and you have all of this knowledge about this tiny bug that can have such a grand impact on our lives, are you able to just speak in regards to the situation that the townships is currently experiencing with ticks this year?
First off, I just want to say that we do have several species of ticks in our region, only one of which is, I'd say, of major medical importance. So the black-legged tick is, unfortunately, quite abundant in Quebec as a whole, and especially so in the Eastern Township. But it's also not the only species we have. So it's important that people remember that if they do come across a tick, especially in the spring and early summer, it could be a number of different species. These other species are mostly not associated with tick-borne diseases. So that's the first important thing to say. Now, regarding the situation, now the presence of black-legged tick in the Eastern Township has been confirmed quite a long way back. It is true that there seems to be more ticks every year. Again, this data fluctuates. So there are a number of factors that will affect the abundance of data, the abundance of ticks every year. The same applies for the black-legged tick. Now, we do see a lot of them. There are many of them in different parts of the Eastern Township. And I'd say what seems to be maybe more of a problem is not that they are necessarily all that much abundant, but the fact that there are many populations where the infection rates with the bacteria that can cause Lyme disease is found is higher. So we have, I'd say, a higher proportion of infected ticks in certain areas than there used to be. So that is one of the problems. And of course, the other issue is the emergence of anaplasmosis. So there were quite a few cases recorded last year for our region, and the public health authorities are really on the watch for cases this year. And this one, so I guess people have started to better understand Lyme disease, and now anaplasmosis gets thrown in the mix. And that, of course, it creates some anxiety, and it is something that needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, that was actually a great lead-in into my next question, was that there has been information circulating about our area in particular about the increase in Lyme disease and infection from ticks. Could you comment on that a little bit further? And what creates these conditions for this infection to be more powerful and to spread at a more rapid rate? What factors into this?
Oh my, this is not an easy question. So first off, I'm not a medical doctor, and I do not really want to comment on the medical side of things. Of course, when people have anaplasmosis and Lyme disease, are diseases that are difficult to diagnose. They're not easy from a clinical standpoint to diagnose, and it is complicated to diagnose them. So the number of confirmed cases probably indicate that there are more cases around, and this is something that will need to be taken into account this year and in upcoming years. That's for, well, both anaplasmosis and Lyme disease. As to why we see more and more cases, those questions are still being studied as we're speaking. So it often relates to the fact that both of them, the anaplasmosis and Lyme disease, are both caused by bacteria. These bacteria need to be acquired from wild hosts. And so the presence of these bacteria in animals, which is where the ticks will usually acquire them, and then transfer those to humans, this is all part of a complicated chain. And so we cannot say that it's just one element. So of course, climatic changes with warmer winters do contribute to the higher presence of ticks, so more black-legged ticks in more areas. Changes also in habitats, so urban sprawling, bigger suburbs, the destruction of certain habitats can also favor ticks, but can also favor a lot of the hosts, other hosts of the ticks, some of which are often infected with these other bacteria. And so together, the climatic changes and habitat changes will often be responsible in large part for higher prevalence of these bacteria in tick populations. But at the very local level, like to say in one part of the Eastern Township, I don't have a clear answer for you, because these are difficult questions to answer.
Okay. And knowing this and knowing that there is an increased presence of ticks in our region, would you be able to provide us some tips as to what people can do to protect themselves and also their pets as well? Because I know that pets are a being that they tend to grasp onto as well.
Yes. Well, I mean, let's talk about pets, because with pets, there are a lot of preventative treatments that can be provided. So your veterinarian will be able to propose several different protections against ticks, and how to administer them and how often to readminister them. And of course, removing ticks from your pets on a regular basis is the best scenario. However, for humans, it's a bit more complicated, because we do not have the capacity, or we do not have any products we can take that will prevent tick bites for several months. However, we do have a lot of insecticides that will work against ticks. There are more and more formulations out there that will work as tick repellent. There's also the way in which we wear our clothes. So, you know, putting your pants inside of your socks might be seen as a major fashion crime, but it's also a great way to protect yourself against ticks, because they usually come from, you know, sort of knee-high level or ground vegetation. So it's harder for them to get access to your skin or to get under your pants if you're wearing your pants into your socks. Clear-colored clothes, they're not repellent in any way or form, but they make it easier to spot ticks. So ticks are not invisible. A lot of people think they're invisible, but if you do pay attention, especially the adults, they're about as big as a sesame seed, so you can see them. The nymphs are smaller. Unfortunately, they're often the ones that we we miss, so pale clothes are good, insect repellents are good. Also, if you know, before you go for a hike or a walk in an area, you can actually get information about the abundance of ticks in that area. You can check if there have been any records on the e-tick map. So the e-tick map is interactive. You can go and check if there have been records in your area or in an area that you're planning on visiting. So this is all things you can do before you're going outside. Now, after you have been in maybe or possibly tick habitat and you come back, one of the best strategies is to undergo a daily tick check. So the tick check means you strip off your clothes and you look in pretty much all the little nooks and crannies behind the ears and, you know, other skin folds on your body. And that is, of all the measures, I'd say the best measure, because for the transmission of the bacteria causing Lyme disease and to a certain extent anaplasmosis, there's a delay. So if the tick has been attached less than 24 hours, the possibility of infection, probability of infection are relatively low, actually quite low. And so if you remove the tick quickly, even if that tick was indeed infected, it probably did not have time to start transferring the bacteria to your blood. So doing the tick check and removing any tick that wasn't there in the morning is a very, very good way to prevent yourself against many tick-borne diseases. So all together, all of these prevention methods are usually good. And then, of course, if you live in an area where there are many ticks and where many cases of Lyme disease or anaplasmosis have been reported, then you need to be vigilant about symptoms. For example, unfortunately, both of these do start like flu-like symptoms, so sort of generalized symptoms. But it's important, especially if you know you've been bitten by a tick, and then a few weeks later you start developing flu-like symptoms, it might be worth visiting a health professional. And then, of course, in the case of Lyme disease, sometimes there's the bullseye at the bite site. It's not always there, but often can be there. And so together, these will help you seek access to preventative, not preventative, but to curative approaches for Lyme disease and possibly anaplasmosis as well. So really, it's a three steps. What you do before, what you do just after, and then what you should do a few weeks after if you were bitten by a tick and that tick stayed attached for quite a while.
Those were the questions that I had for you, Jade, but I was wondering if there was anything else that you wanted to mention about ticks or tips or even the e-tick platform that you think would be important for people to be aware of here in our area.
Sure. I think what I think is important for people in the area is to get to know ticks. You know, they're here probably to stay. So we have to learn to live with ticks just like we've learned to live with mosquitoes. So really sort of make sure that we prevent, but also that we don't stop going outside out of a fear of a tick bite. So we have to learn to coexist. The other thing also is that we still have lots to learn about ticks and emerging tick-borne diseases. And when people use the e-tick platform, they serve, basically they get as much as they give. Meaning that sure, they will get information about the species that they found and what to do. However, they will also contribute important data for both the public, because the map is public, but also to the scientific community as we're trying to monitor changes year after year. And so it's important that people that do encounter ticks continue to use the platform and submit their observations, even if they may know how to recognize the different species by now. Because that information will be beneficial to others as they will look at the different points on the map, and they will also help us better understand what's going on in the area. So what I would ask the public is that even if you're starting to be quite tick savvy, continue to contribute your data to the platform. It is very important for us, and it's a great contribution to the whole body of knowledge that we're trying to build in the area. So not just Quebec, but especially Southern Quebec and the Eastern Townships, this data is very important for us to continue to understand the dynamic, because it changes and it evolves quite rapidly. So we appreciate every individual effort expert, and hopefully we can, in exchange, provide people with specific information that they're looking for. So I guess that would be my the last thing I would like to say.
I just actually thought of this question as you were speaking about ETIC and whatnot, because you were saying how it helps keep, you know, the scientific community informed as well. So seeing this and studying the tick population, are you able to get an idea as to how this situation will proceed throughout the year? Like, are things going to be getting better? Are we going to be seeing more ticks?
Well, at least for the ETIC data, for the moment, we're still in the data acquisition stage. So we don't have enough data yet to make complex models, especially at the fine scale.
Okay.
However, we do know that, and this is not something new, but ticks go through cycles. So the black-legged tick is abundant in the spring, then a little less abundant in the summer. It's not completely gone, and unfortunately, it's the smaller life stages that we see in the summer. And then in the fall, there's a large peak of adults. So people often think that ticks are only active in the summer, and it's not true. They are quite active in the spring. They're still active in the summer, even if we don't see them so much. And then in the fall, that's the time of the year when we actually notice them the most in Quebec, because that is when a lot of the adults are very active and they're a bit larger, so people notice them. So it's important to remember that there's a seasonality to tick activity. So it's spring and fall peak, but that summer is not a time to lower your guard, because the nymphs, which are smaller, and unfortunately the stage that often is involved in the transmission of Lyme disease, because we don't see it, it can remain attached for several days without us noticing. These are very active in the early summer. So right now, even though if we may not see as many adults, there will be nymphs around. So it's a good time, or it's actually a critical time for people to be maybe a little bit more careful. However, in terms of prediction, I think everybody expects that the density and the distribution of ticks is going to keep on increasing, at least for the black-legged tick. And even if we're hoping that case numbers in terms of infections and the prevalence of both the bacteria causing Lyme disease and the one causing anaplasmosis will remain stable, I think we can still expect those to rise in years to come. But again, that is speculative, and it is difficult to make these predictions at a very fine grain. Most models really look at things more from a macro perspective. But I think that we can anticipate some you know, fairly important numbers again this year for both Lyme disease and anaplasmosis.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Jade. I really appreciate you providing all of that information.
All right. Well, thank you. It was great speaking with you.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.